Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. We roll on. We'll do a little Heat trivia later on this hour. Give away some Heat tickets. I'm going to talk to Mary Kay Cabot. She covers the Browns for Cleveland.com.
Long time. That's almost 30 years. Is that unbelievable?
It's a long time, man.
Did she have a break when, you know, they had an awkward period where they moved?
And you know what? I don't know. A lot of...
Had to go cover the Indians for a little bit.
Maybe the Indians or the Cavs. But I think some people came to Baltimore and still covered Baltimore. I think the people in Cleveland didn't care. But
let's get to some headlines, and then we'll dial up Mary and Mary Kay and get into some Dolphins and Browns with her. Obviously, a lot of controversy.
Well, I still got a lump from when I hit my head on the wall with the hot chick.
That's God punishing you for checking out another woman, man.
Man, it was 6:30
this
in the morning.
Is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Did Mrs. Horde care what time it was?
Nope.
So what do you got, Robbie?
So to connect us, since we're about to have Mary Kay Cabot coming on with us, Freddie Kitchens says he has no worries about his players putting the Myles Garrett incident behind them this week when they take on the Dolphins.
Well, yeah, because they're taking on the Dolphins.
That's right.
Wait, Hold on.
I wouldn't have any
worries
either.
Whoa.
10.5-point favorites.
Let me ask you a question. They only have one more win than the Dolphins.
Two. They've won two straight.
Two. Let's not make it sound like, right, you're dealing with a juggernaut.
Hey.
You're looking at all the players. You're looking at all the hoopla surrounding the Browns.
You're adorable.
I was too. But guess what? At some point, you still got to play.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been. So you think the Browns are 10 points better than the Dolphins?
I think they're looking at this week and they're like, oh, it's a get-right week.
Slump buster?
I mean, it's not really a slump buster. They've won two straight, so I think it's a slump rider. Just keep it going. Keep it going.
Oh, somebody said, make sure you ask Mary Kay the Chuck Norris question.
Oh, 100%. 100%. 100%. Thank you, Texas.
No,
well done by you.
I promise you, she's got my back.
Well, we'll see.
I'm telling you.
Well, speaking of fighting, he's a friend of the show.
Who's Leroy?
He is retired.
Ben Askren?
Yeah.
He's called it a career.
He has the same issues with Tua. He has hip problems, and he needs hip replacement.
He probably still a little woozy.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
Dude, I'd quit too if I got knocked out faster than any human being in mixed martial arts.
He came back and fought another fight, but he got choked out in that fight.
Again, when will you, for now till the end of time, what will you know Ben Askren's for?
I mean, he's going to be known as the guy who got knocked out faster than anybody in the history of the sport.
Like, and the only reason why it wasn't faster, because they couldn't start counting until you hit the ground. Because the fight was...
I think the reason it wasn't faster is because Kim Masvidal had to get across the cage.
Right. First, they had to pull my...
The only way it's going to be faster is Usain Bolt pulls off the flying knee.
I mean, oh my goodness. Like, yeah, man. You look. Contrary to popular belief, you just retired. You already retired in our eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were retired.
Whatever. Best of luck in retirement.
You think Dana White gives a little ring to the Japanese Fighting League where they traded to Mighty Mouse too and they want him back?
I don't think so, man. I think they're good both ways. I think that I'll tell you, Ben Askren did this, and this point has been made. Ben Askren was very popular. He talked a lot of bleep. There was a lot of hype going into that Masvidal fight. Remember, they weren't the main event that fight. They were third up from the card. That was a John Jones fight night. And in a lot of ways, I think is Ben talking as much as he did and having as many people wanting him to lose that way, I think is one of the reasons George is as popular as he is right now. So, no, I think if you said the trade-off was, hey, you're going to lose Mighty Mouse, who you've had for 10 years and nobody really buys into him, nobody really wants to watch him fight, but you'll get a guy who will lift up one of your other fighters, yeah, I think you'll say the trade was worth it. Even though it wasn't really a trade, it's just like...
It was super necessary.
Let's make this happen. It's not like they wheeled and dealed. You know, Mighty Mouse is champ, though, so good for him.
And since we're about to have Mary Kate Cavanaugh, Brandon Mayweather, former Hurricane.
I saw this.
He had told Nesson and ESN that he feels sorry for Myles Garrett.
Shocking.
And he rips Baker Mayfield for throwing Myles Garrett under the bus post-game interview.
Listen, if there's one guy you want to have in your back, I mean, Myles Garrett's got himself an arsenal of character witnesses. He's got OJ and Brandon Mayweather.
And Brandon Merriweather just so happens Miami plays FIU this weekend at the old side of the Orange Bowl where Brandon Merriweather was, you know.
I do think he makes an interesting point, though, about Baker. Like, Baker did go immediately on that sideline interview. It was like, you know, very, we know he's going to get suspended. Like, Baker was outraged. And this is kind of the second time he's done that with teammates, where he did that with Duke Johnson, too. Or
Don't worry. Don't worry.
What do you mean, don't worry?
There's a lot of things that are governed by the team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to be a problem, you think, with what Baker did?
Wait, for a guy that says you're either with us or you're not?
Yep.
You don't come out and say that. He was right.
No, he was right. Look, we all knew he was going to get suspended.
We know he's right.
Let's go out to the Orion Fuels Announcers Convenience Store's guest line. Truly says beyond convenient. We'll find Mary Kay Cabot. She covers the Browns for Cleveland.com.
Forever.
Man, like, you gotta go. She has. You gotta go like that. Mary, thank you for the time. Much appreciated this morning.
I played for three teams, moved twice, and now live in Florida and do radio in Florida. She's still on the beat in Cleveland. It's a long time.
You know what, Leroy? You know what the one constant is for players when they come back to visit the Cleveland Browns? Actually, there's two. It's me and Tony Grossi. They can always count on that, right?
Wait, I tell everybody down here stories about Tony Grossi. Because every city has a Tony Grossi. Just that guy. When we played, he was considered Negative Nancy. And every city has one. I'm serious.
Well, it was funny because when we saw that viral clip go, and I texted it to you, it had to be Tony Grossi because we didn't even know who the reporter was at the time.
I knew who it was.
The reporter was like, I know who that was.
Of course. It would be Omar Kelly.
Oh, 100%.
Right.
But you know what? Reporters, old school reporters like that really come in handy when people want what's going wrong with a team. You know, to sort of be exposed, examined, analyzed. So there's a lot to be said for that sort of thing.
Well, you know? I will say this, Mary, that the difference between back then and now is that with social media, you don't even have to confront. You don't even have to ask the questions. You can just put it out on Twitter. Whereas the one thing I'll say about Tony Grossi is you can say what you want about him. He would ask all those questions. It wouldn't be social media. It wouldn't be in an article. There would always be a question and an answer, whether you like the question or not.
Right. And I ask those kind of questions, too. And a lot of people don't like the questions, some of the questions that I ask either. But, we're trained to ask the questions that need to be asked. And a lot of times they're the questions that people want the answers to, or at least 50% of the population wants the answers to. The other 50% doesn't want to hear it. But there's a lot to be said, and as we move forward in the internet age, I think people will even have more of an appreciation for the old school type journalists that do it the way that it's supposed to be done.
Well, what's this year been like, Mary? Because this has been the first time in a while the Browns have had to deal with expectations. Like, it were a nice story last year, and everybody was hyped to have Baker Mayfield. But, you know, I mean, all the hype, bringing in Odell, all that stuff. How is this year differed from years past?
Well, it's been more disappointing than in years past because of those high expectations. Fans really expected this team to win the AFC North this year. I expected them to win the AFC North this year. And so there's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of anger. Now, right now, people are encouraged by the fact that they have won two straight games, and they're probably going to beat the Dolphins this week. But that has been overshadowed by the, you know, negative stain of the Myles Garrett incident. So it's just been a tough year all the way around.
What was the locker room like that night? It must have been bananas, just knowing all the stuff that is unfolding. Everybody in the nation is watching that game, and you know, it seems like, you know, you finally have this good moment. You beat Pittsburgh, a huge rival, and now you have the situation where one of your best defensive players is probably going to be done for the season.
Yeah, again, it felt like a loss. Like Baker Mayfield said, like Odell Beckham Jr. said after the game, it felt like a loss because you knew that you were losing Miles for a period of time. And also, the other reigning sentiment, I think, was that everyone in that locker room knows Miles, knows him as a person. I know him pretty well myself, just in terms of a, you know, beat writer and player covering him relationship. And I was shocked at the events of that night. So it was, you know, it was a sadness to see that he snapped like that, because that really isn't him. So, yeah, there were a lot of emotions going on in that locker room, and it was just a really difficult night for everyone.
Mary Kay, I kind of get the feeling that Mason Rudolph should have got more. Like, he should have also been at least suspended for a game, because as a quarterback, if he had not done or kept attacking, that there's no excuse for what the defender did. But as a quarterback, don't you have to, once the helmet's going, you have to shut it down and just let your offensive lineman take care of it? I mean, what quarterback does that?
Well, I've never seen anything like that either. And, you know, absolutely 100%, I would think that every single person that I've talked to in Cleveland believes that Mason Rudolph should have gotten at least a game for his actions in this. My first instinct was I didn't think that the action alone of trying to remove a helmet and sort of like shove someone away from you with their foot, I didn't think those things rose to the level of a suspension. That was my first instinct about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I can be talked into the fact that he deserved a game too for, you know, continuing the fight, for jumping up, for, you know, for charging Miles and those sorts of things. So I can warm up to that idea, even though my initial reaction was trying to take off a helmet and shoving someone away doesn't rise to the level of a suspension.
Has there been any insight from anybody, you know, either off the record or anything like that, as far as, like, did he say anything to Miles Garrett? Because as Leroy made the point earlier in the show today, like, this is a guy who got sucker punched by a stranger.
Right, he got punched in the face on the street and didn't retaliate.
It's bananas to think that, you know, even with what we saw physically of Mason Rudolph do, that was what made Miles snap. I mean, I know that you may be going to a different game mode, but it's pretty wild to hear everybody say, from a personality standpoint, this isn't what this guy is about, and then we see him turn into that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm sure that things were probably said to each other in that scrum. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. No one has really said yet. I've asked a few people. I don't know if anyone asked that of Miles directly after the game, because I was in with Freddie Kitchens in that press conference when Miles was actually speaking in the locker room.
Right.
After the game, they did not bring him to the podium. And so I don't know if Mason actually said something that further incited Miles. I don't really know. It was just a crazy heat of the moment thing where both guys were just over the top, frustrated, upset, angry. And it just escalated to the point of, unfortunately, you know, no return for Miles. I mean, not literally no return, but to the point where Miles would love to have that moment back. And it's just so unfortunate all the way around.
Now, can he even be suspended this long? Like, indefinitely for something to happen on the field? Because what I've been hearing is that technically the NFL can't suspend him indefinitely for actions on the field.
You know, I haven't seen anywhere that they can't do that, but I also haven't seen anywhere in the policy that they can. It doesn't specifically say, a player cannot be suspended indefinitely for an on-field transgression. I haven't seen that. So they must have played it within the rules when they handed down that suspension. But I think, you know, Miles probably has a pretty good argument going into his hearing tomorrow morning about that, what you're saying, that it's an unprecedented thing to do that. And Roger Goodell has also said that, you know, the length of the suspension was historic. So, you know, who knows? You know, maybe they'll take away the indefinite nature of it and leave the rest of the season. They seemed pretty adamant they wanted him to be out for the rest of the season, but you never know how these things will go on appeal.
So we saw that Freddie Kitchens said leading into this week he thinks that his team is going to be able to put the Myles Garrett thing behind him. Is that because he feels they're better equipped than most to handle distractions because they've had a lot this year, or is it because he's taking on the 2-8 Dolphins?
Well, I don't know that it's – I don't think he means it's because they're taking on the 2-8 Dolphins. I think he means they're going to make every effort to pull together as a football team, that he's going to see to that, that the team leaders on the team are going to see to that. And we talked to a number of those leaders yesterday, and they basically said as much, that, you know, they're going to do everything that they can to keep this team pulling together instead of apart.
So before we get you out of here, Mary, a very important question must be asked of one Leroy Horde, who you know very well. How do you feel Leroy Horde would fare in a fight with a current 79-year-old Chuck Norris? Who do you have in that
fight? It's a long story, but...
Yeah, I would probably put my money on Leroy because Leroy's temper.
Wait! 79! Look, I said... I don't care who he is. He's 79. End of story.
It's Chuck Norris, though.
I don't care. That's TV, dude. 79 is old.
He's a legit martial artist.
But we're sitting here questioning Tom Brady, and he's 42.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's a thrower of footballs, not a thrower of fists.
All right. I got you.
Mary Kay Cabot, thanks so much
Mary
for the time
Kay,
this morning.
Thank you very, very much.
We really appreciate it.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All righty.
All right. That is much appreciated. She's...
Yes.
We finally, go way back. Finally, somebody who has your back.
No, we go way back. Like, man, like, again, I wanted to ask her, but we didn't really get into it because when Jarvis Landry got to Cleveland, you know, I kind of brought it up
right.
It was very similar to when Andre Rison got there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask her about that. But I will say this, over the last year and a half he's been there, been very impressed with how he's handled himself and not made it about.
Well, it's hard to. I mean, he's got the most famous receiver in the league on his team, too. It was
his
best friend.
He's catching almost like twice as many balls as him.
Mm-hmm.
So it, like.
It's all good for him. It's all gravy for him. I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
Wait, here you go. Top text. She's just imagining Leroy with those shoulder pads.
Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tony Leroy and Beast. Oh, no, never mind. That broke my heart. Sorry. Hey, what happened when you do something for 4 years? Miss you, Beast. That was weird. Anyway, I got called a coward yesterday for not addressing the Beast thing. I was like, I've done it multiple times.
Right.
Somebody goes, because I just, and it was weird. I didn't even like link to it. It was like, I linked to just my YouTube page. I was like, hey, I got a YouTube page. Go subscribe if you guys don't mind. I got like a lot of cool video stuff up there. And then this guy just, it responds to me. He goes, way to not address the Beast thing, you coward. I was like, hey, if you're going to go at me strong and say you're not going to address the Beast thing, could you at least be right? I mean, call me a coward. That's strong. And one thing I am not is a coward. But I just linked it and said, here, man, here's the podcast episode we talked about. It. I don't know what to tell you.
Peacock Pirate Posse can never be cowards because they just keep moving the bar.
I don't know what that means. First of all, it's not a thing. And second of all, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Here you go. I want to deal with this jackass right here.
Okay.
Why is Leroy excusing Miles Garrett's actions? Miles used a helmet to fight. He could have easily dropped the helmet and fought like a real man does with a fist, and we wouldn't be talking about an indefinite suspension. First of all, the guy sounds like John Witherspoon in Friday. fight with your fists. These guys need to learn to take responsibility for their actions. If I did that on a pickup game, my ass would be going to jail for assault. So let's stop making excuses for this guy.
Well,
I get tired on the radio of having to pre-qualify every thought as to meaning I'm not defending one side or another. I clearly stated every time I have this conversation that Myles Garrett has to take responsibility for his actions and should be punished. Every time I talk about it, I start the conversation off by saying that. However, there are other parts of this issue. First of all, right, the instigator can't get off. The guy who is the one who kind of started this can't get off scot-free.
Well, let me paint a scenario for you, okay? What about this? Okay, let's say he does fight like a man, toss the helmet aside. Let's say he puts up his fist, Leroy, and he hits Myles Garrett right in his chinny-chin-chin and he goes down like a sack of potatoes. How long is he still getting suspended?
The year?
You mean the quarterback?
No, right. Myles Garrett.
Oh, if Myles Garrett hit the quarterback.
Yeah, if he puts the helmet down, but and he still uses
him.
His fist.
Because,
and
keep in mind,
him.
The quarterback's still charging.
Correct.
Right.
He runs right into it. He gets knocked out Ben Askren style.
Boom.
And he goes and he hits, and there's two hits. His fist hitting his face and his head hitting the floor.
And he's already been concussed once this year and missed a lot of time.
How long is Myles Garrett getting suspended? Still a year.
Right.
Still a year.
Agreed. Agreed.
So.
Agreed.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you're like, he didn't do anything to deter the situation, and seemingly, out of everybody who was involved with this, the guy who shoved him, Marquise Pouncey, Myles Garrett, the only guy who got off without any suspension at all is Mason Rudolph. It's just, I don't know.
Once,
man.
Wait, so we say, yeah, he can't fight with a helmet, but if you watch it, everything was subdued after he grabbed the quarterback's helmet, and then the quarterback started charging, and then he swung the helmet. Don't know how it got to that point.
Which is a bad thing to do. Don't do that.
Don't do it, of course. But, right.
But also, let's cover all our bases here. This made me very happy. I saw this on Twitter. I'm going to just take it for fact, Leroy, because, you know, I just want it to be out there. So this is from Mitch Liebenoff on Twitter.
Ooh.
Yeah. He writes, two players in the NBA thus far have more than 120 rebounds, 50 assists, 15 blocks, and 15 steals. One of them is Giannis Antetokounmpo. The other...
It's not LeBron, because it would be too obvious.
Is Bam Adebayo.
Well, I'm sorry.
Woo!
I should have known better... But I will say this.
Shouts out to Hakeem the Lean on Twitter.
I would say that LeBron's got to be pretty close.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. All I'm saying is Hakeem the Lean sends me that. He says, new Greek freak. And that's what I've been saying, Amber Wilson. Because I remember you laughing at me when I was bringing this stuff up. You think we just throw things out there willy-nilly? When I have professional athletes like Leroy Horde saying he's the next Michael Jordan, I got Ron Rothstein saying the things that he's saying about him, I got Dwayne Casey saying he's the next Sean Kemp, I got Alonzo Mourning saying that his jersey's going to be in the rafters one day. You think I'm just bringing this stuff up willy-nilly, Wilson? That's not how that rolls, Jethro. So I would like today, when you get behind this microphone, when you get behind this microphone at 10 a.m. today, don't let Zazzle start his show with, it's a Tuesday show. I want you to start off today's show, Amber Wilson. I want you to start off today's show with an apology for laughing in my face. An apology for laughing in my face for calling Bam Adebayo new Greek freak. And soon, it's going to be two freaks together because they share the same agent, they're BFFs, and in 2021, West Palm Greek is going to be a thing. With Jimmy Buckets. And Kendrick Nunn, who's better than CJ McCollum. We learned that today. We learned that today. Because did I flirt with the idea of going after CJ McCollum? Yes, I did. Because he was flirting with Myers Leonard, who he misses very dearly because Hassan Whiteside sucks. You know who loves Hassan Whiteside? Amber Wilson. And she said Bam wasn't better than him. Well, who looks ridiculous now, Jethro?
Go watch some Feinbaum. Some Arkansas-Florida game, whatever the hell you're watching this weekend. Hell out of here.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done. That just made me very happy, the statistic.
Oh, you like that statistic.
I like that statistic.
You like that one.
I like that statistic.
You like that
That's
one.
A good statistic.
All right.
Can we just, hey, Robbie, is that a good statistic or a bad statistic?
I mean, it's just what? Just him and the Greek Freak? The only two?
It's just one neck and neck. One and two. And by the way, let's just call what it is. Who got the win this year so far? Bam or Greek Freak? Bam. It beat him. Foul that ass out.
It wasn't this guy.
See you later, Giannis.
Out of Rumbo.
See you later, out of Rumbo.
Wasn't this guy either.
Sarabatudo.
Nope. Wasn't him either. Bam Adebayo. He's got it going down. He's moving it all. You know what they call Bam Adebayo, Leroy? I call him the skeleton key because he opens all the doors. You just throw him in the lock. Where are you going? Where are you going? Why are you leaving the studio?
We still got like 5 minutes left.
Yeah, we got a lot of time, though. We got Heat Trivia coming up. You can't leave. I mean, he is the skeleton key because he opens all the doors, Robbie. Think about that. He unlocks the passing. He just makes it all go together. This offense, it was all stuck in the mud and mudded together. And then what do? Old Spo goes on his little ring like a janitor.
Are you done?
What do I have here? The skeleton key. Clank. Open it on up. And what does he have? A vault of offense. That's what the skeleton key does. Why'd you leave me?
That was crazy. Like, do you feed yourself? Like, you're feeling froggy, and you just keep going, you keep going.
Skeleton key, baby.
Where did that one come from?
I don't know.
I'm looking at your notes, and...
Blank.
Yeah,
I never got to it today.
Maybe you ought to take notes, because skeleton key...
Robbie, make note. When I talk to Bam next, I'm going to ask him what he thinks of the nickname, the skeleton key.
No. That's not a good nickname.
Oh, it's a great nickname. What about when he's at top of the key? You get the skeleton key, unlocks it all. Woo. New nickname. Get that on a shirt, Lorenzo.
You know what I can't wait for?
Hmm?
When do they play Philly?
Saturday.
Because I want to see how they match up against a traditional big.
Oh, I know.
Because Miami is considered pretty small.
Here's how they're going to match up. I mean, you want to know how they're going to match up?
Okay.
Tremendously. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to have Joel Embiid. He's going to be tired because he's always getting tired. You're going to have Ben Simmons not shooting threes because they said he was going to shoot threes. That was a lie. You're going to have Josh Richardson stepping out of bounds because that's what he does. You're going to have Al Horford being super boring because that's what he does. You're going to have Brent Butler or what the hell is that guy's name? Who's their coach?
Oh, Brett Brown.
Brett Brown, yeah.
James Butler.
He's going to be out there calling Jimmy Butler James, even though that's not his name. They call him James Butler. He was the adult in the room. Nah.
Hey, somebody said the locksmith.
No, he's the skeleton key.
I think y'all about to get both walked out on.
Now, do the Sixers have any of the annoying 3-point specialists anymore? Like Bellinelli's gone, Redick's gone.
Not really. They don't have any.
Saric is gone.
They got Tobias Harris.
Really?
Tobias Harris.
Well,
they paid him. Hey, they decided to pay him instead of Jimmy Butler. Dummies.
Hey. Well, Peacock Pirates use skeleton keys to unlock their treasure chests. Arrgh. But that's not... No. Tobin is a...
It's not a thing. It's not a thing. I don't like this. This segment started out great, and you ruined it. Let's line it up for Heat Trivia. You guys want to win some Heat tickets? 786-360-0790. 786-360-0790. If you guys want to win some Heat Hawks tickets, go see the best team at home in the NBA. You want to go see the Skeleton Key? You want to go see Kemp Jordan? You want to go see Bam Adebayo? 786-360-0790 is the number to play some Heat Trivia. We'll be back with more right after this. I love this. This is Skeleton Key's theme song.
Yeah? Okay. Ooh, Bam the Blocksmith.
Ooh, I like that.
The key maker from Matrix.
Nah.
Okay. You know what sucks? I'm not going to be in town.
What do you mean you're not going to be in town?
Huh?
What do you mean you're not going to be in town?
I'm not going to be in town. I'm leaving tomorrow.
For what?
I'm going back to Sarasota.
I know, but what do you mean? You're not going to be in town for what?
To see the game.
For the game on Saturday. I really want to see that game.
Oh, for the Sixers.
Oh, you'll find a way.
No, because you know what they do up north, right?
Oh, yeah, you're in Magic territory.
They show Orlando games.
Oh, that's trash.
You could trick the IP to make it look like you're in South Florida. There's ways of the force.
I know.
All right, you ready to get some Heat trivia, Leroy?
I'm ready. How are the questions?
I think they're pretty solid. I think
the last one was good. Yeah, I liked them.
Yesterday was a good one. Tough questions that we had one try winner.
Right.
Gail.
Yeah. All right, let's get
to it. I thought Oprah was taking care of Gail. She's got to try to win Heat tickets like that.
Here's our first batch of people. All right, we got Johnny. We got Pumpkin, but apparently Robbie's telling me the phone is shaky. So we don't know.
It might be better.
I don't know if I like taking people with a bad connection, Robbie. I'm just going by your notes.
I was hoping that wouldn't be revealed.
I got Tyler. I got Alex and Boca. I got Gabe, Jose, Diego, and Michelle, and Dave.
Let's go with a Gabe.
Gabe. All right. What's up, Gabe?
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you sound good, man. Good phone. I like it. How are you? How are you feeling today?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Hopefully I get lucky here. We'll see.
All right. Are you ready to play Heat Trivia?
Let's give it a shot.
All right, you got to get three right. Don't interrupt. Otherwise, you get a technical foul. You get two technical fouls, you're out of the game. Got it?
Sounds fair.
All right. Here we go. Who had 5 blocks in 14 minutes in Game 6 of the 2006 NBA Finals against the Mavericks? A, James Posey. B, Dwayne Wade. Or C, Alonzo Mourning?
I'm going to have to go with C, Alonzo Mourning.
All right. That is correct.
Yeah.
Stay on the floor, Leroy. All right. Next up, who hit 6 three-pointers in Game 7 of the NBA Finals in 2013? A, Shane Battier. B, Ray Allen. Or C, Rashard Lewis?
Some good options there. I'm going to go with...
Out of stalling here.
Shane Battier.
All right. All
borderline. That was
borderline. I felt like you were entering Google territory there.
Sorry. Right. Shane Battier. That's my answer.
All right. Shane Battier is correct. That is correct.
Oh.
All right.
Sorry. I'll answer quicker next time.
All right. Here we go. What former crybaby coach claimed the Heat were, quote, the biggest floppers in the league? A, Doc Rivers. B, Tom Thibodeau. Or C, Frank Vogel?
The Googles.
Are you Googling?
C. Frank Vogel. That is correct.
Yes.
Right.
There's some shaky behavior there, but I'm going to let you go on that, Gabe. Congratulations, man. You won.
Thanks, guys.
Congratulations.
I promise I didn't. You
don't even sound like you like lying to us. It's okay, Gabe. I appreciate it. I appreciate the effort.
Oh, man.
We'll enjoy the Heat game. Heat Hawks. You'll get to go watch everything there. So congratulations to him. All right, good round of trivia. So did you see, Leroy, yesterday the ballot came out for the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
The ballot came out, and Jeets is on the ballot this year. This is the year. I believe last year we had our first unanimous entrant into the Hall of Fame with Mariano Rivera.
Now, he was the first 100%er?
Yes. Yes.
Jeter will be the second.
Jeter got to be the second, right?
Now
that it's broken and then we've moved on, everybody can get away from the dopiness.
But first of all, who's more of a first, according to the media? Not according to me, but according to the media, who do you think is warrants a 100% more, Mariano Rivera or Captain Jeets?
I got to go Jeets, man. He played every day.
That's what I'm saying.
He played every day.
That's what I'm saying.
The timing is what it is.
Because, look, Mariano Rivera is viewed as the best closer, but he doesn't even have – does he even have the most close –
the most saves all time?
Yeah. No.
Postseason-wise, I think he does. But if post-season, it was all time, I think Trevor Hoffman
has, 600, right?
Yeah, I think Trevor Hoffman has more than him. But Mariano Rivera was the first one to get 100% last year. Now – there's some interesting names on this ballot, Leroy. However, there's one that I don't understand what the Hall of Fame ballot. Why do they have to put everybody who's eligible on? Because it doesn't make sense.
What do you mean?
Well, for example, on this year's ballot, you got Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
You got Curt Schilling. He's been there for a while. Gary Sheffield. Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, gotta please put him in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my goodness. Here's what sucks. Does it diminish the Hall of Fame if you know the best hitter you've ever seen is not even close to being in the Hall of Fame?
It's crazy. Last year he had, I'm trying to see, Barry Bonds got 59% of the vote. So
Roger Clemens is way below than that, right?
No, Roger Clemens was actually higher than him last year. Barry got 59.1 and Roger Clemens got 59.5.
If
Curt Schilling was above them at 60.9.
If they got to get 75, right?
Yeah,
if
I believe so.
If Roger Clemens gets in before Barry Bonds,
you're going to lose it?
Oh.
You're going to lose it?
Come on, man.
Now, this besmirches the ballot. I don't even like it being on the ballot, okay?
Oh, somebody put the name on the... I
look at the first three rows. I understand. I guess this is done alphabetically. But the first column, third name down.
Oh, boy.
First,
can I guess?
Bobby Abreu.
Can I guess?
Second, Josh Beckett.
Can I guess?
And third,
Heath Bell.
Heath Bell. Why are we wasting our time, Cooperstown, putting on a rat bastard on the Hall of Fame ballot? It besmirches and stains the ballot. It nearly burns a hole in the ballot to even consider. What if somebody has fat thumbs? I don't know how these things are voted. Is this punch style? Somebody who's a Hall of Fame voter, if you could. If there's anybody out there, let me know.
To be a finalist?
Yeah, like, what if this is done by tablet these days, what if somebody accidentally gives Heath Bell a vote? I can't have it.
It's got to be more than one person. You got to hit a certain percentage to get the final ballot.
No. I think everybody's on the ballot. You get on once, you got to hit a percentage, and then they drop your ass.
Oh, okay.
So this is his first time on the ballot.
So question, we have some.
Yeah, he got done. Now, remember, Heath Bell spent the last 4 years of his career as a thief, robbing people of their money, posing as a baseball player. Now, the idea that this guy is on any kind of Hall of Fame ballot is laughable. Because I don't know if you know this, this isn't a ballot of Hall of Fame crooks. If it was Hall of Fame crooks, I would understand him being on a Hall of Fame ballot. This seems like a waste of space.
Okay, question.
He's already in the Tool of the Week Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Well, they said...
That's much deserved.
How about this? You guys are crazy. Jeter isn't close to being the best shortstop. Mariana is hands down the best closer of all times, and I'm a diehard Marlins fan. Followed by, somebody said Mariano Rivera has the all-time saves, and followed up by Trevor Hoffman is the Brad Keir of closers.
Compiler.
That's not a bad.
I mean, most closers are compilers.
They are what they are. I don't necessarily disagree with what that guy says.
And it's a lot easier to be a closer on a team that's always winning.
You want to know who it wasn't easy to be a closer? Heath Bell. He was the worst. He ruined the new ballpark in that new team. He got everybody traded, and he was a horrible teammate. This guy would go to Ozzie Guillen, and he'd be like, I just need to know what you want from me, Ozzie. I just feel like everybody doesn't believe in me. What? What are you talking about? Fatty? Go out there, strike people out. That's what I need from you. Oh, this guy would be in there. He'd bitch about the franchise Showtime, talking to, how come you guys don't focus on Jose Reyes' struggles? Like, bro, really? This is the type of human being you are. You're wondering why there's not more of a focus on Jose Reyes struggling instead of your fat ass. This is what we're talking about. Oh, the worst. Where is this guy now? Is he free from his life of crime? Has he gotten away scot-free? Did he buy an island? Where is he?
You need 5%. Somebody text him.
Yeah?
5%.
He won't get 0.05%. He will get no percents. Unless this is digital and you got to account for the margin of fat thumbs, no one's voting for this guy. Not even Mrs. Heath Bell would vote for Heath Bell in the Hall of Fame. Not Heath Bell's mama wouldn't vote for Heath Bell in the Hall of Fame. No, Heath Bell's dog wouldn't vote for him to be in the Hall of Fame. Even though that dog has eaten off of all the money Heath Bell has stolen from the Marlins. This dude sucks. And I think it's a disgrace that he's on the ballot. You want to talk about people who deserve to be on the ballot? Brad Penny deserves to be on the ballot. Two wins in the World Series. Josh Beckett deserves to be in the ballot. All right. Game six, short rest forever, shutting the Yankees' ass down.
Wait. Hall of Fame is a career, not a moment.
Whatever. It's ballot
worthy. Just saying to be on the ballot.
Just to be on the ballot, all right?
Are they
I voted for him on my official ballot. I had a ballot come out, and I have, these are my official votes of who I want in the Hall of Fame. So this
did
is.
Did you really put a red line through?
Yeah, I scratched out Heath Bell. Because that's the official ballot. You got it. Look, Robbie, you need to make it known. This is what goes down for the ballot, all right? So my official ballot. You know what? I will reveal my official ballot coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.